Hey, drama listeners.
Hey y'all, we are here celebrating 5 years of drama, which saying it out loud and then actually thinking about 5 years of the podcast, absolutely psychotic.
I mean, we've been through so many things,
So many ups and downs.
so many highs and lows.
You know, Tuesday nights were never the same, aka when we're editing and preparing for the Wednesday launch every single week
But it
for 5 years.
right, but it's so fun, and we love you all so much. You're gonna be gagged for this episode, and of course, all the episodes to come in year five.
Yes.
But before we get into it, we need to tell you about our Patreon, Drama Plus, which has been running for 4 years,
Yep.
by the
Just
way.
celebrated 4 years of that. It's our bonus content platform. You kind of know the drill. It's a couple of extra episodes every single month. You're also added to our Instagram close friends. And as I like to say, you get the unending, undying love and devotion of Connor and I for being part of that little crew.
It's so fun. Patreon.com/thedramapodcast, $5 a month to help us celebrate. $5 for 5 years.
Yeah. Oh,
$5 for
we
five
should do a
years.
whole campaign
Oh my
around
God.
this.
Well, starting today, we are. And we hope you love this episode with Megan Hilty just as much as we did. We love you all so much. I can't even believe I just said that.
I know.
All right, let's get on with the show.
Press play. Curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, it's 5 years of drama.
I know. I'm so excited about this anniversary episode for multiple reasons. But I have to say, every single week, we've only taken off 2 weeks, I think, over the last 5 years. Ooh, the last 5 years.
Oh my
Yeah,
God.
yeah,
You
yeah.
can't help yourself.
I know. And it's still thrilling to me that I get a little bit of butterflies every time we do this. So it
I
means, like,
know.
I'm not ready to pack up the podcasting microphone yet.
Not yet. Not yet. But I know. I was thinking 5 years, half a decade.
Oh my
That's
God.
longer than high school was,
Yeah.
longer than college. You know,
For
because
most. For most.
for most, right. But I'm so excited and like to celebrate today with this
I
legend,
know.
this
I
icon,
know.
you.
Oh.
I kid, I kid.
No, this is like such a dream guest. I know we always say all the time, we have this list of people that we've always wanted, and today is no exception. I think we can't waste a single second.
No,
I'll
I
just bring
know.
her in.
All right, I'm going to read a little intro. Not that we need it, but I think we need to be reminded a little bit of some of these incredible credits. But y'all, our guest today is one of the most beloved Broadway leading ladies, currently starring as Madeline Ashton in Death Becomes Her. She is a Tony, Drama Desk, Drama League, Outer Critics Circle, and Critics' Choice Award nominated actress, perhaps best known for her portrayal of Ivy Lynn in NBC's musical drama Smash. This queen starred as Glinda in Wicked on Broadway, on tour across North America, and in Los Angeles. On Broadway, lucky audiences saw her portrayal of Doralee Rhodes in 9 to 5 and her Tony-nominated turn as Brooke Ashton in Noises Off. She's also slayed in New York City Center's Encores productions of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and Annie Get Your Gun, as well as in Little Shop of Horrors, Annie Live as Lily St. Regis, and more. On television, this dynamic performer starred in Patsy and Loretta on Lifetime, Hulu's Difficult People, CBS's The Good Wife and The Good Fight, Braindead, Sean Saves the World, Desperate Housewives, and so many more iconic shows and countless animated series. She's graced legendary stages, including Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, the Kennedy Center, and has released 3 albums, It Happens All the Time, Live at the Cafe Carlyle, and A Merry Little Christmas. She's a mother, an icon, and truly a dream guest for us to have to celebrate 5 years of our podcast with. Please welcome to Drama,
Megan
Megan
Hilty.
You guys, that was too much. That's too much. We got to cut some of that out.
Any credits you'd rather forget about, you? I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Definitely icon. You can't call me an icon. I'm not Cher. I'm not, no, we can't do that, guys.
You know what? It's so funny you mentioned that because, in Death Becomes Her, in the For the Gays song, some of these gay icons are mentioned, and Megan, you're right up there with them,
No.
with Gaga, with
Listen,
Celine.
you're very sweet, but no. Those are icons. That is a list of icons. I'm just a lady who just, I don't know, tries to play some of them on TV sometimes or on stage.
I have to tell you though, when I saw Cats the Jellicle Ball this summer, you were sitting across the way from me. Like, basically,
Oh, you were there?
yes,
Oh, yeah.
I have to tell you, watching you watch the Jellicle Ball was, I mean, it was like truly worth the ticket and then some.
I was having an out of body experience. That was unreal. I would give anything to go back to that night. That was really, truly a special time.
Connor said that you were like, it was basically a receiving line for you. Like during intermission, everyone was coming up to you and just.
Like, I was like, this queen, like everyone is gagging, rightfully so.
I turned to my husband. I was like, I think they think I'm someone else. I don't know what's happening. I think they're mistaking me for somebody else.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But no, thank you for joining us to celebrate 5 years of our podcast.
Congratulations.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. We're just so lucky to have you in particular because you were pivotal for us, you know, as we were coming up and falling in love with theater. We'll talk about, you know, your journey and what that's been like for you. But thank you for all you've given to us over the years. I mean, you've, like you mentioned, played a lot of iconic roles. There we go saying that word again. But
I mean, we're throwing around the I word like it's nothing all over the place.
Now, Megan, we like to check in with our guests right off the top to see how they're doing. Are you well?
Define well. Is well... like considered like rested, like well rested? If that's the case, no, I'm not doing well. I am tired.
Yeah.
I'm healthy? Question mark. I am tired with an exclamation point, but happy, period.
Yeah. Yes. There we go. That's a complete sentence. I'm sure that it's an adjustment being, first of all, back in New York and on that 8-show-a-week schedule, now post opening as well.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the schedule during previews while we were rehearsing and changing the show was pretty grueling, but then we opened during the holiday season and doing all of this and press and stuff. I mean, it's a lot, but it's so joyful. Like the show is such an honor to get to do. Like truly, it feels like a privilege to get to make people laugh every night for 2.5 hours, especially now, you know, like when it's so desperately needed. What a privilege to get to do that. So like, even though the schedule is pretty grueling, it's pretty great to get to do all of it.
Yeah. I mean, the Macy's Parade, it was a delight to see you there.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's wonderful. I mean, I'm glad that we got to be a part of it, you know, like
yeah.
There's the only little intro, but have you seen, so two of our castmates have lip synced to me and Jen's intro. Yeah, Bud and Tori, and you have to check it out.
Okay.
Yeah, they do a pretty great performance of, of us on the parade. It's so silly.
I can imagine you all are having a blast at the L'Enfantin. It's such a great group of people.
It's insane. Like the cast, the crew, the house staff there at the L'Enfantin is like... everybody's a gem.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you decorated your dressing room yet? What do we have featured in there so far?
Have I decorated my dressing room? I haven't, but I hired Krista Rodriguez to, and it is a work of art. This dressing room is unlike anything I've ever seen on Broadway. Like it's, first of all, it's a famous dressing room, and Nathan Lane put in a steam shower when he was there.
Adam's family, probably.
Yeah. It's two different like rooms. It's got really high ceilings. It's the only Broadway dressing room that I know of that could actually have a chandelier, like a hanging lighting piece. I have balconies. I can go out and harass people on the street. Yeah. And she's put draper. At some point, we're going to introduce this very gorgeous dressing room that I don't deserve to the public. It's stunning what she did.
I love that. Krista is a friend of drama. She was our first ever guest that we had when we launched.
Get out of town. Yeah. Oh.
I love amazing. Decorating dressing rooms, using all of her talents on Broadway, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And there's that little Smash connection right there.
A little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you two ever share scenes together on Smash?
Like rarely.
Yeah.
Rarely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember. I mean, we, of course.
I can't remember much. So, yeah. If you said, no, you did every scene with her. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
There's like some gay listening to this right now, yelling. Listening
correcting us. Yeah. Like, if you're like, right. Yeah. You're right. I'm wrong. Exactly. Whatever. Yes.
Oh, my God.
But, so Death Becomes Her. I know that it's been in development for a long time. And you and Jennifer Simard are absolutely incredible in this show. It was, like you said, 2.5 hours of just getting to laugh, kind of check your worries at the door type show. I also just have to say, it's amazing to see you doing everything on stage, in particular in that song that Connor mentioned, the For the Gays number.
What a great introduction for a character.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Yeah,
Guns
no, I
a-blazin'.
keep joking that it's the only reason why I signed on to do this show was that that song would be mine forever. Yeah.
So it's been a part of it since you.
No, it actually hasn't. It came up, there was a point during one of the readings where I had like 15 show-stopping numbers. It was like I was looking at the tabs in my little notebook, and I was like, no human can sing all of these songs, and they were all so good because Julia and Noel are that
Geniuses.
talented. Yeah, they're geniuses, and I don't use that word lightly. But yeah, it came in further down the line, and I was like, when I heard it, I was like, oh. First of all, how had nobody made that connection?
I know.
How come that hasn't been written before?
I
Like,
know. So true.
it's right there. It's right there.
That's the
Yeah.
brilliance of Noel and Julia. I mean,
I know.
years ago, Julia used to do this sort of drag performer named Ruby Monge. I don't know if you're familiar with her, this character that she did. And there were some Liza elements in there. And so I'm glad that she snuck that into this number as well.
Oh, just amazing. When you're preparing for something like this, like a classic, not to use the I word again, but iconic
Yeah. That's appropriate.
That is
Yeah.
it.
That's appropriate. Yeah.
Where do you begin? Are you like starting totally fresh? Or you get the script and you're like bringing the familiar bits of it that you already have in your mind to the character.
Well, okay. So first of all, the movie, this iconic movie filled with iconic performances, has been one of my absolute favorites for as long as I can remember. If you actually like look at my resume, if you printed it out and you took a look at it, you'd be like, oh yeah, this is, it's kind of what I do, is I take something that somebody has already made very, very famous, and I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a try. I'm just the one that's silly enough to go like, sure, yeah, that's already been done perfectly. Let's see what I can do with it. And it started with Wicked, and that was kind of my training ground to try to find the balance of capturing the essence of what those who have come before me have set, and then being okay with filling the rest with myself. Because you can't try to mimic somebody else. It will just be like a shell of a performance, and it won't be funny, it won't be endearing, it won't be real at all. But you have to acknowledge that it's iconic for a reason. There are certain elements that you cannot mimic, but you have to at least like try to capture the essence of. And finding that marriage of the two is arguably what I've done my entire career. So that's what I've done with this, and tried not to completely collapse under the pressure of, one of the greatest actresses of all time has created this character. What in the world do you think you're doing? Trying to fill those shoes in any capacity. And the answer is, I'm not. They're different shoes. They just kind of resemble the ones that were worn before.
Oh, totally. I think that you hit the nail on the head with the essence of, because it totally feels like, you know what this is, but it's still completely Megan Hilty doing what she does best. So it's really an achievement for sure.
Well, thank you.
What's
Thank
your
you.
favorite moment in the show at this current moment in time? I'm sure it changes every day, but when you go perform it next, what are you most looking forward to?
My favorite moment in the show is when I see my purple gown for the first time, because I'm like, oh, we're so close to the end. No. And it's funny, most of the time I'm like, oh, this means like, oh, it's the last time I'll wear this, and then my dressers are like, no, you wear it again for the bows. Like, ah. No, I don't know what my favorite moment is. I keep saying this, but like, I'm so lucky to get to do the show. I'm so lucky to do every single moment of it. Every scene is so much fun to do. Every song is thrilling and really difficult to navigate. So I can't phone anything in. It keeps me really engaged and really. So I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. There's no one moment. I just feel so lucky that I get to do all the moments.
Yeah, and you really do. Like Dylan said, you get to show like, well, I don't know if you said this, but you were suggesting it, that we really get to see Megan Hilty doing everything on stage, and that's what we all have wanted for years. So welcome back to Broadway.
Yes.
Thank you. I just keep, when we were in previews, we were imagining what captions were gonna go like out the marquee. And I kept saying, come watch Megan Hilty try really hard 8 times a week. It just feels like I'm just like leaving everything I've ever done out on the, it's just a lot. It's a lot.
As you're talking, I'm thinking about that scene when it's when Jen and Chris's characters come over to Madeline's for the first time, and you're like serving them and go with the couch
Oh,
and
the Ernest, to tell me Ernest scene. Yeah.
it's
It's so
funny.
fun.
Oh my God.
It's so funny. It's so silly. The first time I had one of my first costume fittings and I put on that leopard outfit. And then I went to rehearsal and I saw that the couches were in the same material. And I was like, oh no, somebody didn't tell them my outfit is the exact same pattern. So when I lay down, I'm gonna completely, oh, I get it. As I was saying it, I was like, oh, I get the
Yeah.
joke. Oh, I get
And I love the humor in the show. It is, it's
Oh,
really like some things immediately will hit you, other things you have to think about a little bit. And I think that's so smart. It doesn't baby the audience in any ways.
not at all. It is like the smartest kind of silly you could absolutely you could imagine.
And it stays silly, even at, not to spoil the show, but even towards the end when we dip into, you know, they're reckoning with some of the sad bits about living forever. It doesn't last too long. You know, you get some zingers in there and
That's my favorite part. It's my favorite thing about this show is that it's not just the end. There are several parts where it becomes very earnest and very, very, very tender. And just when you think we're about to fully go there, we pull the rug out from under you and we're like, nope, you don't get that. That's not our show.
yes.
You know? So every time we almost get you and then we take it
I think
away.
it was very effective, for sure. You've done a lot of projects that have featured multiple women in like leading roles. I feel like it's really unique. Like even Smash, you know, 9 to 5, there were 3 women. I think that's so cool. And
Happy and Loretta, 9 to 5, Wicked. It's all of them are just based around female friendships.
I think it's really powerful that it's not like a love story always. You know, it might be a friendship love story in a different way.
Oh yeah. And it's the one thing about my career that I actually like, I take the most pride in because I feel like it's so rare that women, like multiple women are featured in, and I know because I've written down on the list how many there are, and I've been in so many of them. Like, so I take great pride in being a part of so many of these female-driven shows.
Yeah, it's really special. Now, going back to the beginning, before you were on Broadway, we like to kind of touch back on that moment that might have been why you got into this business in the first place or found your love for the arts. We call it the Ring of Keys moment, based on that moment in Fun Home, where there's a moment of recognition, but we twisted it to be about musical theater or singing. Do you feel like you had that moment or something like that?
Oh, I definitely did. Yeah, I was a kid, and my mom took me to see the theater a lot, and she exposed me to a lot of different types of performances. I was actually really obsessed with opera. I went to the Seattle Opera a lot, but she took me to the National Touring Company of Jekyll and Hyde. And I remember I couldn't put my finger on it when I was a kid, but this feeling inside of me, I felt really excited. I felt like it was a lot of things. And I just remember going, I want to make people feel like this too, whether I'm on stage or off stage. I want to be a part of this that makes people feel like this. That was my moment.
That's really special. That show has some bops in it, I have to just say.
It's
Someone Like
fun.
You, that's on the Linda Eder. Oh my God.
So good. So, how old would you say you were when you saw Jekyll and Hyde?
I don't know. Again, somebody could probably like look up when that went through Seattle and
Right.
like do the math. I'm 43 now, like I don't know. I was a kid though. I was little.
And then did you kind of like ask your mom, like, hey, can I participate in theater at school or whatever? Or
Well, no, because she'd already had me in voice lessons because I was always singing, and she was like, let's get you to do like let's plug this into something. And so I was already doing like vocal competition, like classical music. I was competing classically, which was, I mean, I hope that stuff like that's still around. And so that kind of snowballed into like doing youth theater programs during the summer. And you know, I was part of a Gilbert and Sullivan troupe in my city. And so yeah,
Wow.
I went to opera camp with the San Francisco Opera, you know, for they used to take, I think, like 16 to 18 young women every summer and like host them and do all these master classes and stuff. Like that was the road that I kind of thought I was going down.
Yeah. And then you had to make a decision for obviously you went to Carnegie Mellon. Was there a choice of like, oh, should I do opera or should I do their?
No. No,
Okay.
it was at that opera program where they had all these professional singers come and speak to us, and they kept kind of driving home that we wouldn't work until our mid-30s because that's when the female voice matures. And I was like, telling a 16-year-old that, I was like, huh? Like, well, I'm never going to be in my mid-30s. Why would I wait until then to do anything? You know, so. And like really like understanding the lifestyle of a classical singer and stuff, I was like, this is very admirable, but it's not really who I am. So I kind of went in the musical theater route from there. I still have a deep admiration and secret desire to be an opera singer, even though that will never happen. But yeah, it was clear to me that didn't fit my lifestyle.
Sure. You've gotten to at least flex some operatic moments, maybe as Glinda, or although even this show, you got option up at one point. And so, you know.
This show, they have me singing all different ways,
Yeah.
like all every single way you can imagine. Yeah.
Now, Dylan just mentioned Wicked. You mentioned it earlier. We've got to get into it. I mean, it's been on Broadway 21 years. The movie is finally out, and you were one of the very first actresses to play Glinda on Broadway. I mean, I remember when we were first getting into Wicked. We were obsessed with you. I mean, we've been obsessed with you forever, but you know, watching bootlegs of you when you were in like LA doing it and stuff, like you're just one of those Glindas that we just were so obsessed with. Actually, there is a video of you singing Thank Goodness going around right now, all over Twitter and you know, everywhere. People are remembering how stunning you performed that song and the role of just young.
Oh, thank you. That was my favorite song to sing because it really like I think it's written so beautifully because it's really difficult to sing because you have to navigate different registers, but it's very smart how it's written because like those it goes through those different registers for a reason. Like acting wise, it's like a little map, as all songs should be. But that was my favorite song to sing.
And you, of course, would sometimes option up at the end, right? There's like this optional high note. When, how did you decide when you would do it and when you wouldn't?
Dependent on how much I drank the night before. Hard I was partying the night before. And this was when I was a baby, you know, like I could actually do things like that. No, I would just it was just something that was fun. And you know, I want to be really clear too. Like people keep saying like it's a Hilty high note. In the opening, Kristen did that a lot. I don't know if she did it in Thanks Goodness, but I don't want to take any credit for anything that Kristen did before me. I probably did that. And this was so long. I went into it 20 years ago. I just want to be super duper clear. Like, I probably did those things because like she'd already like established that you could do it, you know.
Had you gotten to see Kristen do it before you took over? Because I know you replaced Jennifer Laura Thompson.
Yeah, so when I auditioned for it, I was still in college and they had me see the show the night before my audition. So I saw the whole original cast and I was by myself and I was a baby and I was just sitting there weeping at intermission like everybody else going, nobody can replace either of them. Nobody else can do this after them. I don't know what I'm doing here. You know, that's where it all started. That audition, I was like, I can't do what Kristen's doing. Nobody can. So what can I do for this? You know, I was like, well, I can't do it like her, but I could do it like this. I understand that I need to get a laugh here. I could get a laugh like this. You know, like it's not for people listening, this is sorry, I'm tilting my hands like I'm adjusting slightly. Like, so it's not quite, it's just different, you know. That's when I started going, well, I can't do what she's doing, so I have to figure out my own way.
Yeah. And you certainly left your mark on that role. And after doing it for a while, I'm sure that then people were doing it slightly like your way beyond that, you know?
Listen, I mean, yeah, that's all we're all doing, right? It's just like figuring out our own way of doing it.
Absolutely.
When you look back on when you were doing Wicked, I know you did it on Broadway's Standby, and then you were full time, then you did it on tour, then you were in LA. What are some like highlights that come to mind when you look back on those years?
Oh man, I just know those were some of my formative years. I was in my early 20s. So I worked with 17 different Elphabas,
wow.
Whether they were doing it like full time or an understudy or a standby, you know, and they were all remarkable people. You know, I learned so much about like how to be a leading lady. I knew nothing about anything, you know, about forming these friendships with these incredible women that I got to play opposite. And yeah, what a privilege to be a part of that legacy,
mm-hmm.
and that story that touched and continues to touch so many people in so many beautiful ways. So I don't know, 4.5 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot of life.
Yeah.
That's a lot of moments. So I don't know that I could pick one, but I'm just really grateful to be a part of it.
Did 9 to 5 come after Wicked because somebody saw you in that and then saw that maybe there was potential for you to play Dora Lee?
Well, it's the same director. It's Joe Mantello. So he asked me to do a reading of it. And then I just kind of stayed on with it as the show developed, you know? So somehow I just didn't make anybody mad along the way. And I just stuck onto the front. They were just like, She's fine. So we'll just keep her.
Yeah.
but the readings and stuff and the out of town tryouts were during Wicked. Cause you know, it takes several years to develop a show like that. So.
Gosh, that's another one that we were just like hooked on.
We loved that.
When it came out. Oh my God. The music was just fantastic.
Oh, so good. Yeah.
So good. And it lives on. I know they continue to like have productions all over. There was one in London that did very well recently.
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
And then we've got to talk about Smash. Got to talk about Smash. I mean, to say we were obsessed and are would be an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually talking about this before. I mean, we vividly remember like when Smash was week to week airing, you know, in that network TV way that you don't really see anymore, you know, following along online. And now Smash seems to, these years later, have developed this, I don't even think cult is the right word, but people are just love it in a different way now that is just so amazing to see.
Yeah, it's really thrilling that story continues to find an audience, you know, all these years later, and that these songs are just like living on. They're so, so great. Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman, I mean, I'll always be their biggest fan. And I keep using the word grateful, but like how amazing to get to be the first to voice so many of those iconic songs. Yeah, I'm throwing that word around.
Yeah.
I mean business. Yeah. but they are, those songs are so incredible and like, and they deserve to live forever. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm so thrilled that it's finding a new audience and we'll find another audience on Broadway too. Wow. Like, I'm just thrilled for them.
Was it a lot to have to do all of the numbers, rehearse them, and then film them? It's constantly a rolling basis, new episodes every single week.
Yeah, it was a lot, but I did it happily. Like it was, they were long, long days, but not a minute of it was hard, you know, because I couldn't get enough of it. We had so much fun. It was everything I've ever wanted to do in one job, you know, and with people that I just loved and adored and still do, but yeah, I'm super lucky.
Ivy is such a fun character too. I don't know what, I'm so excited to see what they do with her on stage, but oh my God, you just like, I feel like again, another character where you got to do everything.
I got to do everything. And we all know an Ivy Lynn.
Oh, yeah.
Or in my case, she's based off of 4 people.
Okay. Oh,
I'll never tell.
No.
Yeah. I'll never tell who. But I love her. I love Ivy. And I never saw her as like a villain. I really like, I fell in love with her. And
we're certainly always Team Ivy in this house. So
fabulous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, some of those songs, like Just Keep Moving the Line, Secondhand White Baby Grand, like, oh my God. Just as I think about it, I'm like, beyond.
Yeah, songs are really, really special. And they wrote them so quickly. People don't really understand how quickly. Yeah, we recorded and filmed them really quickly, but like they wrote them even faster than we made them come to life, you know. Their talent is beyond anything that I've ever experienced.
Yeah, there's remarkable. And it lives on forever, which is so special. It's been cool too. We got to see you do a few different concerts over the years and to see you then perform them.
Oh, I'll be doing them till the day I die. Yeah.
Love it.
So amazing.
I'm kind of curious if there was any special guest star that you just absolutely loved or were just shaken to your core to be working with.
Oh, Sean Hayes. He's still a dear friend, you know, like he's very special. He's remarkably talented and has a heart of gold. Yeah, I just love him so much.
Yeah, he's so amazing. And I loved having you with Bernadette as your mom.
My God. Okay. Everything. Well, there's that too. Like, so there are only a couple people that turn me into a complete goober when I'm around, and she's one of them. She's always been my idol. And like when they told me she was going to play my mother and we were going to sing together and like have scenes together, like, I mean, I died every day that we were on set together. And I always joke that there's that saying, never meet your idols, you know, implying that they'll always disappoint you. Mm-hmm. My addendum to that is never meet your idols unless they are Bernadette Peters or Dolly Parton, and then you're fine. Neither of them will disappoint, you know? Yeah. She's the epitome of like grace and beauty and kindness. And on top of all that, talent.
Oh yeah, for sure.
She's an icon. We can use the I word with her.
She 100%. Wait, so there's Dolly's doing another musical, right? You know,
maybe I'll make a tape like the rest of the world.
I know, right?
Send in a tape. No, that's thrilling. I think that's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a long time in the making, so it's about time.
Yeah, I had heard for when 9 to 5 was happening, and maybe you can dispel this rumor that she wrote hundreds of songs, maybe less than that, for 9 to 5, and then
she wrote like lots of songs. Wow. Yeah, she wrote lots.
Another quick songwriter, right?
But then like, yeah, oh yeah. I mean, she's prolific. We know this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, but for a musical, like it has to, and Julianne Knoll did too. They wrote, I mean, the number of songs that they've written for Death Becomes Her, and they're all fantastic songs, but they have to be perfect for that moment. And it has to propel the motion of the story and stuff like that. So like, yeah, there are a lot of really excellent songs that I can't wait to see performed at 54 Below at some point.
Yes.
you know, for the cut songs, it's going to be a great show.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I do want to ask you one question about being nominated for a Tony.
Sure.
What was that that morning like?
It was wild because I wasn't expecting it at all. My show had already closed, you know, like that rarely happens. You know, sure. I wasn't expecting it so much that I scheduled a concert tour through Australia on the other side of the planet during the Tonys. So like it was so not on my radar, you know. I had to reschedule my tour, and I eventually got it so that I walked off stage for my last show in Australia, got on a plane, flew to Qatar, and then New York, got off the plane, went to a hotel and got ready and went to the Tonys. Like I didn't even go home. It was not on my radar.
Talk about being tired.
Yeah, but I was younger then. So it was, I was with my husband. So it was really fun.
Oh, I love that. We actually have a question, and we can cut this if you don't want to talk about your kids, but I noticed they have Irish names, like first and middle names. Are you Irish?
I'm Swiss Irish and my husband is.
Okay.
And yeah, Ronan is very much from Irish folklore. Baby yeah. Seal. It's a really beautiful story. Viola is after Twelfth Night, a Twelfth Night character. And we just love story and that character. We knew that people would mispronounce her name all over the place, but we were like, she's unique. She needs a unique name. And if she wants to change it or just like tell people they're saying it wrong, so be it. Yeah.
Totally. Have they gotten to see much of your onstage performances? I know they're younger.
Yeah. They saw it in Chicago twice, and they came to opening night in New York. And it was really beautiful. Chris Catelli made a curtain speech that was kind of, and what he talked about was a little unexpected. He, instead of talking about like the show or anything, he thanked all of our families for parting with us while we built this, you know?
Wow.
And like, I didn't cry the whole night. And then he starts talking about this, and my kids and my husband are right there, you know, and like I was like, oh no.
Oh, that's so nice. How did you meet your husband?
At a bar, like every other sensible, like classy person. No, we actually met, we shook hands at a place called Mark Fisher Fitness on my birthday. And then later that gym, Mark Fisher Fitness, was having a party at Lily's in Midtown
Oh, yes.
weekend. And Eden Espinosa dragged me out and I sat down next to Brian Gallagher. And then it was the rest is history. It was like,
Aww.
oh no, I can't not be with this person all the time.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's so
That's
cute.
awesome.
I think when we saw you at Joe's Pub doing like a Christmas show, he was performing with you. Is he often in the band?
Yeah, he's in my band.
Oh, that's so fun. Oh
Does
my goodness.
he? I might have to ask him this, but does he have a favorite Megan Hilty performance?
I don't know. Do you have a favorite Megan Hilty performance? All
All of them, this current
of
one.
them. They're
Yeah.
all great.
Oh, that's so cute. Well, we're running at the end of this episode here, but we've so loved chatting with you, Megan. It's been such a dream come true. We do like to end on a dose of drama. This is like a little something on our minds that could be like a pop culture recommendation. It could be that show you just binge watch, music you can't get enough of, something you did today that you want to share with the listeners and get off your mind. And I think I'll Yeah,
start.
we'll go first so you have time to think if you need a minute.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because mine actually ties in with a bit of a question, but I'm a Bravo-holic myself.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with this. Yeah.
Yeah,
There you go.
maybe I'll do that too then. We'll all
Loved
go.
seeing you on Watch What Happens Live.
It
Loved having you next to Andy too, by the way, which is very cute. And had you ever done Watch What Happens Live before?
And Daisy. Yeah, I've done it twice before, a long time ago, but I got to do it with Daisy. I'm obsessed with her. I love her so much.
Oh. She was so cute. So I'm not a below deck guy, really. I know.
Get
Okay.
on board, pun intended.
Literally, it just feels
Yeah.
like one of those things where if I start one, I know I'm going to be obsessed enough to do all of it, and then I'll do the next below deck series. You know, the Meg,
Yeah,
the
no, that's what's gonna
Australia.
happen. No, that's how it happens.
Now, are you loving the season of Salt Lake?
It's okay. Yes, but I also, because the previous seasons were so wild, it is a little tedious to me. It does feel like they're all trying desperately to create drama that's very unnecessary and, to be honest, a little boring. Like it's like it's so unnecessary. I do find myself groaning a lot more. I'm like, you don't need to try so hard. Yeah.
That's how I
Yeah.
feel about the new New York. I'm like, are these women
Oh,
like,
really?
yeah,
I
I'm not
mean, a
really into
little
it.
bit. Some of them, yes. But for the most part, I think a lot of them are really fabulous. And it did need a little revamp.
Yeah, it
It
was
did.
time. I know we've been rewatching while Dylan's been visiting me. We always like throw on like seasons like 7, 8, 9 New York. And it's so fun. But I need to remind myself that like as this, you know, when they decided to revamp it, we were all kind of ready to move on, you know, like it was time. So even though the glory days were great, it was time to go. But what, so wait, when you did Watch What Happens Live previously, were you on there with another house with a housewife or anybody?
No, one of them I was on. Oh, well, I was on with Patty Stanger, the
Matchmaker.
matchmaker, and the other one I was with Nick Jonas, who I did Smash
Oh,
with.
right. Of
Oh,
course. Yes.
of
Yes.
course.
Lyle or something like that was his name.
Lyle,
Yeah.
very good memory,
Yeah.
Dylan.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I felt really bad because Sandra Bernhardt was there too. And like there was like a thing kind of afterwards, and someone was calling in, and I felt really bad because someone called in and they were like, Nick, you saved my life, and blah, 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 blah. And me and Sandra Bernhardt were kind of like giggling because we thought it was just a fan being like overly dramatic. I didn't realize that he has diabetes and is an advocate for like I had no idea that she was talking about like he literally saved her life like for medical reasons. I'm so terrible.
Oh my gosh. Well, that show, you never know. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that it was an overly dramatic fan and it was like a very serious thing and I was like giggling. I was like, "Oh no."
Oh my gosh. No.
Yeah,
No.
it was
It's
terrible.
the vibe of that show is just fun and light. So I'd understand why you would think something like that.
It was a key bit of information that I was missing.
My dose of drama, real quick, is just I'm shook, but similar to the New York thing that they're revamping Vanderpump Rules, it has been time. Do you
Oh.
watch Vanderpump, Megan?
I only watched to see what the kerfuffle was about the
Scandoval.
And then I tried to keep watching and I just couldn't.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, I just couldn't. That's
Understandable. I'm excited that they're doing a revamp of that one. So I would say that's
for sure.
That's my big thing.
But again, the glory days of Vanderpump Rules, like seasons like 1 through 6, yeah, incredible. Yeah. If you're ever bored, Megan, I highly recommend going back to check out some of those.
Yeah, but so mine is Below Deck, and hear me. And I started watching it when, because I used to do a lot of concerts. Like I would go away, I'd travel by myself. It was very sad to be without my husband and my kids and stuff like that. So when I was in my hotel room by myself, I would just turn on Below Deck. And like, those were my friends that like, that would travel with me everywhere. And like, the drama was always the same, you know, and I loved all of the characters. But I was talking to a friend of mine, Bryn O'Malley.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, because she loves it too. And she was like, the reason why show people love this is it mirrors what we do. Like you're putting on a show upstairs for your guests or your audience, whatever. And there's a shit show happening backstage, you know, like there's all this drama and stuff like that. It just mirrors what show people do. And I completely agree. And I love to watch how obnoxious the wealthy guests are and stuff and how they deal with it and stuff. And it makes me feel like I'm traveling to some amazing place every time. Like I love it. So, and that's what I do after the show. I come home and I watch Below Deck or My Housewives and I just...
You can detach from your own reality for a little while.
Exactly.
Well, I'm sold on Below Deck for sure. Where should we start?
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning.
Very beginning. A very good
place. At the beginning, because then you have all these seasons to go.
Okay.
And so many different super yacht, sailing yacht, down under. Oh, down under is fantastic. Okay. It's all great.
Is that the one with the hot Captain Jason?
Oh, yeah.
I remember watching him on Watch What Happens Live once, and I was like, am I about to start Below Deck for this man? Yeah, probably.
You should start with Down Under.
Yeah. Okay. I love it.
He isn't the first captain there though.
Okay.
There's another captain before him, I think.
We'll find out. We'll let you know what we think.
Do you do Summer House?
No.
Okay.
I don't do things for the sake of like shenanigans, like this set. Let's get all the people that misbehave the most together and see how much they can misbehave. I don't enjoy that. I much prefer like Below Deck.
Awesome. I'm so glad they paired you with a Below Deck gal on.
I know, right? Yeah. Daisy's amazing.
Yeah, she was so cute.
Aisha's another chief stew that's amazing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're sold. Megan, thank you so much for your time today. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Everyone is going to be buying their tickets to Death Becomes Her. I also want them to follow you. You're just at Megan Hilty on social media, right?
Yeah, just at Megan Hilty. That's it.
So easy.
Or my Meryl Streep bio. At the real, that's totally Megan's real bio or something stupid like that.
So good. That is so good.
I love that so much. While everyone's following Megan, they've got to follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. You're at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you for being here for this milestone episode with us, Megan.
Congratulations. I'm so thrilled to be here for this one.
Thank you. It means a lot. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.